Free grace was opened at that place called Calvary. We thank you, Lord, that when you shed your blood, you said in your word, this is the blood that I have shed, the remission of sin.
Amen.
And we thank you, Lord, tonight, that each one of us, Lord, and our Savior, we can set the time when you reached down with your hand of grace and mercy and saved us. Lord, that word is still powerful today that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. We thank you, Lord, again for Calvary. We thank you for grace. And we pray, Lord, you'll help each one of us this afternoon to express our full hearts and thanks for what you've done for us that place. Lord, we just say now, accept our thanks and accept our praise. And Lord, yes. If there's someone in our midst, Lord, that's not saved, Lord, we pray today that they'll hear that sound of the good news, that there's a way of escape, that Jesus Christ has paid the way for them at Calvary. Now we just pray now that your presence will be felt amongst each one of us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Try sing the hymn, Joyful, Joyful Will the Meeting Be. When from sinner hearts are pure, come to the Savior, make no delay.
Come to the Savior, make no delay.
Yeah.
Praise God. The Lord bless each one tonight. Let's sing that chorus, "When His Wounded Hand Touched Mine." Praise God. And all those here, Lord bless you. Those tuned in, God bless you this evening. Praise the name of the Lord.
When His Wounded Hand Touched Mine.
This evening for your wounded hand. We thank you, Lord, that you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon thee, and with your stripes we were healed. We thank you tonight for the precious work of Christ on the cross. We thank you, Lord, the tomb's empty. We thank you that indeed you're risen, and that the Comforter has been sent.
Amen.
And your promise for two or three are gathered in your name, you will be in the midst, and that to bless us. Father, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray, Lord, if there's anything in any one of us displeasing to you, take it out, Lord.
Amen.
Let the Holy Ghost search every one of us tonight, as we ask you to wash us and cleanse us in your own precious blood. Lord, you know every one of our hearts. Amen. There's nothing that's hidden from you, for your word is a discerner of the very thoughts and the very intents of the heart. Father, I pray above all that thou wilt save souls in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you'll touch anyone that needs your healing tonight. Here or listening in, may the Holy Spirit touch them and minister unto them in the name of Jesus. Bless your word to our hearts in the name of the Lord. Lord, I take the Holy Spirit by faith, and I thank you that you undertake for me. Bind every work of the devil, I pray, and spoil his goods in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to John chapter 3, and I'll try not to be too long tonight. John chapter 3, and I want to, I suppose maybe it's a strange title, Salvation in the Light of this passage. Verse 16 to 20 of John chapter 3. And everyone knows these verses really well, I'm sure, but it's good to be reminded of them again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You may be seated. Praise God. I believe here in a reading in John chapter 3 must have been near the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. Now, understand what I'm saying. Jesus was 33 and a half years old when he went back to heaven, but the Bible says his ministry lasted 3.5 years. How many's read that? Now, we know he did things before that, but we're talking scripturally. There was a 3.5 year, specifically steal it by scripture. And I believe this is the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was baptized by John. Our brother John mentioned it this morning. John the Baptist baptized Jesus. And you know, John was hesitant to baptize Jesus, because he said, I am one worthy to baptize you. He knew that he was the one that needed to baptize him with the Spirit. But Jesus said, suffer it to be so, for we must fulfill all righteousness. Every scripture must be fulfilled. And we know that Jesus went down into the waters and was baptized to John, and the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove, in the form of a dove. And we know that God had said to John, in whom I shall see the Spirit coming like a dove and remaining upon him. This is the one. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
This is the difference in Jesus than any other man. I want to say that.
Amen.
The Spirit can come on different men in different times. And we've heard that and we know that. But the Bible says the Holy Ghost was not given to Jesus by a measure, but in fullness.
Amen.
God was in him in fullness. Hallelujah. Because he was God, the very God, manifested in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
You know, at the beginning of this ministry, he's baptized. And here he goes down to the temple, and he cleaned out the temple. And he healed the sick, he raised the dead. And I want to tell you, if you want to disturb a devil, you will never disturb devils any faster than when you preach about healing. I'm telling you. And Jesus himself healed the sick, and they were disturbed. The scribes and Pharisees were greatly disturbed, because he healed the sick and he cleansed out the temple. The religious world of his day, hear me tonight, the religious world in the day that Jesus was ministering didn't know him. They didn't recognize him. Those that claimed they had the Bible, those that claimed they followed the law, failed to see Jesus. They failed to recognize him. But isn't it amazing that a prostitute at a well recognized him and said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the very Christ?
Amen.
I tell you, I think that's amazing. That those that are claiming to be religious never knew him. And a woman that was an ill-famed woman knew him and recognized him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I tell you, we need to recognize Jesus when he comes on the scene. Hallelujah. He cleansed the temple and he healed and he preached. I tell you, Jesus knew how to preach. Glory to God. He preached and he taught and he healed. He done it all. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
You know, the Bible says, never man speak like this man. That's what it says of Jesus. If somebody said there was more miracles done through other men than there was with Jesus, but that's not scriptural. How many knows that? Don't be quiet here tonight.
Amen.
I hope some of you have found the amen still tonight.
Amen.
You haven't lost it.
Amen.
But you know the word of God says that if all was written in the books what Jesus done, that there's not even enough books in the whole of the world what could contain the things Jesus done. There's no other man like that. You'd write it down somewhere, but not what Jesus was fit to do. It was so much. Hallelujah. There's two groups here. Well, I tell you, if you've ever heard Jack Cole preach, he mentions these two groups. There was the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and Jack Cole says they were sad, you see. They were sad, you see. I tell you, if you have a dull face tonight, you need to get the joy of the Lord back. The Lord never saved you to sit with a long face, but the Lord has saved you and the Lord has saved me that we would display the joy of the Lord. We need a face change.
Amen.
Are you hearing me this evening? The Lord wants you to have joy. We have nothing to worry about. The Lord has saved us. He's delivered us. He wants us to have joy.
Amen.
Joy in the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, these were Sadducees and Pharisees. There's a lot of people there, Pharisees. Amen.
Yes.
Sadducees controlled the temple. These Sadducees, they were controlling the temple. And there's a whole lot of people that control the day, and they're sad, you see. Amen. But God doesn't want us to be sad. He wants us to be glad.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I remember many years ago when
Amen.
Ron Peterson told it at a convention. Bless your heart. He said he went into the wee shoe shop. His sister might know the brother's shop he went into. But I remember him telling it, he went into the shoe shop, his arms was down, he was sad, you see. And the brother in the shop put the sign up and the door closed. And he said, what's wrong with you, brother? And he could hardly say much. And he said, brother, no, it's wrong, get your arms up. Put your arms up and praise God, don't feel like it. He said, I never asked you if you felt like it. I told you, get your arms up and start to praise the Lord.
Amen.
And he said he was like that, hesitant. But eventually he got his arms up and he began to praise the Lord. He forgot a bit inside, you see. And the joy of the Lord came on him.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
You know, William Branham once said, he said, I felt sorry for a fella because he'd no shoes. But then he says, when I seen another fella with no feet, I wasn't so sorry for the fella with no shoes. And every one of us can sit and complain and moan and groan. And this is not right and someone else is not right. But I tell you, you think your problems, you look at the next fella. And we ought to be displaying the joy of the Lord to the lost. And dying generation that Jesus saves. And he doesn't save us to be a bunch of moaners and groaners, but a people with the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, the wee fella used to say, from herd bone picking to ham and chicken. From Johnny Wasker, whiskey to gospel talker. Sydney Murray. Sydney Murray went to meet one night, and there's a fella at the door. And you know what he told him? He says, lend me your face, they're going on the house with. He says, how do you expect people to come in here with a face like that?
That's right.
My goodness, are you glad you're saved or not?
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I tell you, I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
Praise God, I'm glad I'm not in jail. Jack Cole said once, he said, are you glad you're here? Or would you rather be in jail? There's not too many of them said much. And he said, when they arrest you, you should have got a spell in jail. And you sure would have been glad to get out of jail. But all of us were actually in jail. But Jesus set us free. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're out of the jailhouse tonight? Sadducees controlled the temple. But Jesus walked in and cleaned the temple. They were stirred up because of Jesus, because he broke up the temple and he cleaned it. And he said he did many miracles and stirred up the Pharisees. They were angry. They met up and had a council. 73 men had a council, but there was one man missing. I want you to hear this. 73 men had a council against Jesus. Did you know that when you read your Bible? They had a council against Jesus to see what they're going to do with him. They hated him. They were stirred up. But I want you to see the salvation in the light of this passage tonight. There was one man, and he never went to see what the council was. But this man came to Jesus by night, and he was Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was one of these men. Hallelujah. And you know what the Word of God says? Look at it. Verse 4 of John 3. And Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man? Now you look back down verse 1. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was one of them 70. But he came to Jesus by night. And he said, Rabbi, meaning teacher. Hallelujah. He spoke to the Lord. Went to Jesus. I know your teacher come from God. Before he asked a question, Jesus knew his heart. Genesis 6 verse 5 tells us that God knows the heart of man, and that God knows the heart of man's wicked. And Genesis 6 5 tells us that the heart of man was so wicked that God said he regretted he even made man. That's how wicked man's heart was. And many times people can have things in their heart and they think they're hiding it, but God sees it.
Amen.
And this man Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Master. Hallelujah, teacher. And you know, Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:7 says, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God knows the heart. And God knew the heart of Nicodemus. And God knew the heart of them 70. And God knew that Nicodemus was sincere. And he knew that Nicodemus was real. And this was the most important encounter that Nicodemus was going to ever have. And the most important encounter that any man or woman is ever going to have is with Jesus. And the most important thing that any man or woman must do is what Jesus told Nicodemus. You must be born again. That's the most important thing. It's not important what size your car is, your house is, or how good your clothes are, or how much money you've got. None of those things are important. The important thing is, are you born again of the Spirit of God? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? That's the important thing. I tell you, no fella said he left a lot behind him, and the other fella said he left nothing, for he was took from it. Never left a thing. And I tell you, we're not to build treasures up in this earth, but the Word of God warns us and tells us, laying up treasures in earth, the moth and rust doth corrupt, and lay treasures in heaven.
Amen.
I tell you, the church today is far away from the book of Acts. You say, brother, is it is? Because in the book of Acts it says he brought all they had and they laid it at the apostles' feet so that the gospel could go forth.
Amen.
I tell you, if you told people to do that today, they'd look at you like they'd six heads. They wouldn't be willing to do it. I know it's quiet in here, but it makes no difference. The Bible's the truth anyhow. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, it's the truth. The book of Acts, they were sincere, they were real. Oh, we need the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit moves us, we need to obey the Holy Spirit. And we need to go forward and preach the gospel. Tell every creature, do you believe that tonight?
Amen.
As your brother Gary said the other week, take every opportunity. If you're invited somewhere and somebody said they wouldn't go there, that's, nobody asked them. But if you're asked, you go.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Because somebody could get saved. And that's the most important thing, isn't it? Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Verse 5, a birth of the Spirit. Jesus tells Nicodemus of the serpent that God told Moses to lift up the brass serpent. And he explains in all the Nicodemus of the brass serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness. And when those people were bitten by a deadly snake with the bite of a serpent, and they would look upon the brass serpent, they'd live. There was life for a look upon the serpent. And there is life for a look tonight upon Jesus. There's life for one look upon Jesus. If you look to Jesus, you'll live and you'll not die. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank God tonight there's life for a look.
Amen.
Oh, he tells them it. Look down through these scriptures. Look to verse 14. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And Jesus is telling Nicodemus, I'm going to be lifted on the cross. It is necessary that I be lifted on the cross. Just like the brass serpent was lifted up, I'm going to be lifted up on the cross. But when I'm lifted up on the cross, praise God, look at verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Yes.
Maya, it doesn't say life for 1 week. It doesn't say life to the next convention. Life to the suitcase revival evangelist comes. It doesn't say none of that. It's eternal life. Yes. Once you're really saved, you're always saved, praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
I tell you, I thank God tonight salvation's eternal.
Amen.
Eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life. Jesus said to Nicodemus, if you're born again, you're going to have eternal life. Hallelujah. Thank God for that life tonight. Eternal life. Romans 3 and 23 tells us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in faith, we look to Jesus on the cross and we live. Jesus tells Nicodemus, verse 16, for God so loved the world. Look at these great truths. God so loved the world.
Yes.
That's the black man and the white man and the red man and the yellow man and every single color of skin there is upon the face of this earth. That's everyone that God loves. God loves everybody. It includes everybody. It excludes nobody. The gospel is to whosoever will believe. Hallelujah. It's not to the chosen few or the select elect. But it said everybody, praise God.
Amen.
Whosoever.
Amen.
That's who it's for tonight, praise God. I love verse 17, and hardly anybody ever preaches 17. For God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Yes.
I tell you, it's God's will to save. It's God's desire to save. It's God's wish to save. God wants to save you, and he wants to fill you with joy and the blessing and the power of God.
Right.
Oh, I know we'll have trials and tribulations. Tell me all about it. But thank God we've got Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Pharisees always taught that God hates sinners. Listen to this. That's what they taught. Maybe you're sitting in a pew in this meeting tonight. Maybe you're listening in tonight. Maybe you have a doctrine in your head, and if you have, it's from the devil. And that doctrine is that God hates the sinner. How many's ever heard that? I tell you, God loves a sinner. The scripture doesn't say God hates a sinner. God loves a sinner. John 3:16. God so loved the world.
Amen.
He hates the sin and loves the sinner.
That's right.
But I'm going to tell you this evening who made that doctrine. The devil did. That's where it come from. He wants to tell you God hates you. God's against you. I tell you, that's what he wants to preach. There we see God loves a sinner and wants to save them. The origin of the thoughts that God hates a sinner came from the devil. Hallelujah. How many knows the oldest book of the Bible? It's not Genesis. How many knows the oldest book? Job is the oldest book of the Bible. Job. That's the oldest book of the Bible. And you know what it says in Job? If you go to Job 1:21, you know that the devil came to accuse Job before God. Let me just give you a little insight to the lovely, beautiful fellow we're talking about here. And I'm referring to the devil. Go with me to Ezekiel for a moment. Go with me for a moment to Ezekiel. Have you got it, brother? The scripture. Look what it says. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. You see, God made Satan, and God did not make Satan with some blemishes. He was created beautiful, perfect in all his ways, until iniquity was found in him. And you know, we all blame Adam, and it's true. The Bible says sin came by Adam. But remember, it started in heaven. It didn't really start in Genesis. It started in heaven, because the devil rebelled against God, and God kicked him out. Because he said, I will be like the Most High God. Satan wanted to be like God. And that is why when he came down into Genesis, he tried to produce himself a superhuman race. And he tried it again in Hitler. Now history tells us that. He tried to produce a super race. And you know, all through the Bible, follow it, all through the scripture, when Moses was born, the decree was made that the firstborn be killed. And the Bible says that Moses' mother saw, glory to God, that he was a goodly child. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And she made a basket and slipped him into it. And God's servant said, imagine putting them in a basket down through the crocodile, through the Nile, and God swept them right up into Pharaoh's house, into the house of the enemy. God's chosen, God's elect, with a message from God right into the house of the enemy. But the devil tried to kill him. All the firstborn was killed. Then they knew the prophecies of Jesus. They heard a story of a light coming over one. It was foretold everywhere. And the decree was signed out again, kill the firstborn. And they tried to get Jesus, but his parents were warned to the angel of the Lord to slip away, so they couldn't get him. And I tell you, that's the same devil that's on the rage tonight. That's the same devil that wants to kill your testimony. He wants to kill your joy. He wants to kill your witness. That's that same devil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But Jesus says, I'm come that you might have life. He was beautiful to look at. Don't you ever think the devil will come to you, you know, with a black cloak and two big horns? That's not the devil. This is the devil. Perfect in all as well. Beautiful to look at. Hallelujah. I heard of a great servant of God many years ago in America. And they went into an office and a man appeared into him. And this man offered him to be very rich. And he said, nobody will have a bigger ministry than you if you do what I tell you. And I tell you, he said he was in fear and his mother was praying for him. And afterwards she told the story how she prayed for him during this time. And he thought it was about an hour. It lasted, but it was 5 hours. And this man told him his name. And he named other preachers in America that he had bought over. And they were now under his control, and they were prospering, and they were preaching the new message you all preach today, which is prosperity. The prosperity gospel. They never mentioned repentance. They never mentioned being born again. The prosperity gospel.
Yeah.
And he said, eventually the man left, and he came out, and he went out behind him. And he says that man disappeared. And he believes it was the devil. And you say, I wouldn't believe that. There's no scripture for that. Well, there is. The Bible says that Satan can be transformed as an angel of light. That's what the Bible says. Many have transformed themselves as angels of light, but they're from the pit of hell, and they're the devil themselves. I tell you, everything must come in line with God's word. Hallelujah. And just as the brother said this morning, when you receive the real, genuine Holy Ghost, there's something in you that'll bear witness to the truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ye shall know the truth.
Yes,
and praise God, the truth will make you free.
Amen.
Jesus gives Nicodemus this message. Look at salvation in the light of this passage. The message Jesus gave then is the truth tonight. The gospel message cannot be changed. It's never changed. The Bible says in Revelation it's an everlasting gospel.
Yes.
You must be born again.
Mm-hmm.
Born again of the Spirit of God. Born again, hallelujah, of the Spirit of God. Not joining the church, not shaking hands, not hearing the new movement message or the new age message or the new blessing, all these different stuff that's out there. But the gospel remains the same. You must be born again.
Amen.
The oldest book, Job. Look at the outcome of Job's response. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Job 1:21. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's things that happen in life that we cannot explain. I can't explain it to you. But then we have to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise God and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Thither the Lord giveth, the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We've brought nothing into this world. We're taking nothing out with us. You know, the old boy, he's on the radio. His name's gone from me, but I'm sure some of you know him. He sings, brother. And they sing that song. I'm going out the same way I came in. Well, I'm not. Did you know that? I'm not going out the same way I came in. I came into this world born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And I'm going out saved and washed in the blood of Jesus. Are you? Amen. It's your testimony you're going out the same you came. If it is, you need to get born again.
Amen.
You're not going out the same you came. And some of you might never die. Because the rapture could take place. The Lord could come and change us and take us up. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And we're getting out of here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You say, brother, you got the ticket of hell. Ephesians, wherefore you're sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. You got the seal. Praise God tonight. Hallelujah. The Pharisees always taught God hates sinners, didn't they? But God loves a sinner. He hates a sin, but loves a sinner. Praise God. The Pharisees told that God hated sinners. That's what they said. John 3:16 tells us. Jesus' response. Proof. He gave his only begotten son. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son.
Yes.
Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here is a demonstration of God's love here tonight. Let me explain this. Go with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 17. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God. I tell you, Nicodemus come to Jesus and he said, you know, he talks to the Lord and the Lord says to him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And here we see in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be
Amen.
Saved.
Amen.
How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Yes.
There's nobody gets a boot put in them like the preacher. But God uses preachers and God sends preachers.
Amen.
And if you're a real preacher, don't expect the gold star. No. Don't expect it. Did Jesus get a gold star? No, he got crucified. He got nailed to the cross. You said, brother, we had signs, wonders, and miracles. They'd flock and they'd be wonderful. Some would flock, but some would cry out against it and say it's the devil. Just like they did with Jesus. They said, this man had the devil. Now when they said it with the Lord. Remind yourself of the word of God. If this be done in a green tree, what shall be done in a dry tree? If they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call the servants?
That's right.
And I tell you, you know, a brother mentioned Reinhard Bonnke, and years ago I used to watch all the films of Bonnke preaching in Africa. Many thousand received and healed. And one man raised from the dead. And you know what some skeptics say, I wouldn't believe it. I know what another one would say, if he can do that, bring him down and raise all the, empty all the graveyards. That's the attitude of the world today, and it's always been like these scribes and Pharisees. Hallelujah! And so-called Christians don't even believe it. They don't believe it. And you know what Jesus said? You know Lazarus, the poor man, the rich man. And he said, send someone to warn my family. Mm-hmm. And he said, they have Moses and the prophets. They have Moses and the prophets and never heard them. Though one rose from the dead, Jesus Christ is the one that rose from the dead. Jesus Christ is the one that was sent. And that's why the Bible says they believe through the foolishness of preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel's foolishness to the world. But unto us that are saved, it is the power of God.
Amen.
But to the world is foolishness.
Amen.
But unto us that are saved, we know it's the power of God.
Amen.
I wouldn't believe it unless I seen it. That's the scribe and the Pharisee attitude, isn't it?
Right.
Jesus says, blessed are them that have not seen and yet believed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, look at this. Verse 15, and how shall they preach except to be sent? Question mark in my Bible. And there's a lot of people going and God never sent them. Our brother John said it well this morning. You can have all the bees and the cures and it's all good and nothing wrong with it. But if the Spirit of God never sends you, it's a waste of time. I tell you, them early disciples are sent to God. You know, Bunky, you know what happened, Bunky? I'm reading the man's story at the moment, what Bunky meant. George Jeffries. And the fella said, oh, you can't see him. And the voice come thundering down, send him in, send him in. And Bunky went in and seen George Jeffries. And he had an interview with George Jeffries. And George Jeffries prayed for Bunky and the power of God fell on him. How many knows that? And you know George Jeffries, if you know anything at all, you know that George Jeffries and Stephen Jeffries were powerful men of God. And they get ridiculed to no end. They went to do meetings in this building and it was a complete trash place. And everybody, oh, we couldn't do this, we couldn't do that. And the complete same God. But they cleaned it up, the power of God fell, and hundreds of people were saved. God's not interested in fancy steeples. He's interested in your heart and my heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I tell you, when he met with a man of God and he prayed for him, he went forth the power of God. How shall he go except to be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad things, tidings of good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, who have believed our report? Don't blame the preacher. Sometimes when nothing's happening, the preacher's doing all he can do. Don't blame him. He can be faithful. That doesn't mean they're going to come. That doesn't mean it's his fault. Was it Noah's fault that only eight got saved? You remember Brother Breacham preached about it. He said, can you imagine reading Noah's missionary report? How many souls in on there that got saved? In the eyes of Christians today, he would have been classed as a failure. But he wasn't a failure in God's eyes. He was called the righteous one in the Bible.
Amen.
Preacher of righteousness. He did what God called him to do. They're not all here. Hallelujah. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Isaiah saith, Lord, who have believed our report? Have you believed the report tonight, dear friend, that Jesus saves? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For I say, have they not heard? Yet verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by that which are not a people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Praise God. The sound went out, the news went out, but they didn't all obey. And I tell you, people have preached well. This country, you know, has been preached well. There's no other country hardly has been preached like Ireland. The north and south, even the south's heard the gospel. It surprised you to know that Spurgeon had meetings in Cork. Spurgeon, see here, Spurgeon, yes. And multitudes came. There was a move in Cork in a day gone by, and many countries today that we would say nothing's happening in. And the gospel was preached. Today is the day of salvation. Acts chapter 8. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Praise God. Verse 48. the Bible says, therefore they that scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. I tell you, preach Christ, nothing else, the anointed Messiah. That's what Christ means. And the people with one accord gave heed to him. The people was listening that he preached to them. He wasn't preaching to the ears that were choked up with wax. Did their ears open and they're listening to what he preached to them. Hallelujah. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip speak, hearing and seeing the miracles which he done. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Not only did Philip preach the word, but miracles were performed. This was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. This was a man which fulfilled what we read in another scripture, sent to preach. God confirmed the word with signs and wonders following. Hallelujah. Look at this. Let's read on down this verse a bit. Verse 5, 6. And the people of one accord gave heed, seeing the miracles which he did. Verse 7. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice come out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, that were lame or healed. And there was great joy in the city. I tell you, I've been in meetings in Africa where demons have come out of people, for people have been healed with the power of God. It's real. I know I've told you a lot of times for the young girl, totally blind, God healed her. I never read that in a storybook. I was there. Amen. I saw it. I remember one service, a little baby was brought, and with the hips and everything was all damaged. And they could do nothing for her. It was going to have to go for a major operation. And the Holy Spirit power was there, and God healed that little baby immediately. Twice I've seen that happening in two different places. Once in America and once in Africa. God's able to do it. Amen. I tell you, God is real.
Amen.
You can't read the gospel with these men where miracles didn't follow it. You can't read that in the book of Acts.
Right.
If you do, you'll rewrite the book of Acts like a lot of people's rewritten history in the church. And they leave out the miraculous. I told you last week, I have John Wesley's original journal. It's that depth. You don't need to read from page to page. You can open it anywhere you want. And almost everywhere you open it, it's a journal of the meetings he had. And everywhere he went, miracles followed him. And he preached the gospel. And miracles followed him. Hallelujah. Signs and wonders in his name. Isn't that right? The Pharisees condemned the Messiah. But Jesus says here, God sent not a son into the world. John 3:17, to condemn the world. God never sent a son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Lord loves you tonight. Praise God. I'm coming to close. I'm not going to try and finish this message, but God loves you this evening. The Lord loves you tonight. And he wants to save you if you're not saved. And if you're saved, he wants you to get a real good dose of joy. Amen. Amen. The Lord wants you to have joy. Amen. You say, brother, what's the recipe for joy? There's joy in the Lord.
Amen.
If you get close enough to Jesus, he'll fill you with joy.
Glory.
The Bible talks weeping through the night. Many of us have spent times weeping. Sure we have. But joy cometh in the morning. The Bible says, he that goeth forth bearing precious seed, weeping, shall doubtless return again, gathering in the harvest. Some of you have prayed for people that they're now saved, and you see they're saved, and you see they're serving the Lord. That should give you joy.
Right.
You should praise God for that at least.
Amen.
That the Lord's heard your prayer and answered it.
Right.
There's nothing more important than people getting saved. I want to say that tonight.
Amen.
Salvation's the utmost thing.
Amen.
And I tell you, Jesus can save. I tell you, when the book of Acts church got the Holy Ghost, it made them more effective.
Yes.
More effective. Hallelujah. More effective. You know, I spoke to the lovely sister during the week, and I've sent her several messages. I've been praying for her. She's diagnosed with cancer. And they told her there's no hope. But she's believing God. Amen. And she said, Brother Tom, nobody's preaching about healing the way you're preaching it. We don't hear it nowhere over the world today. Nobody's preaching it. And I tell you, it's like anything. You want to see people saved and you go into the room of the unsaved, you need to preach salvation. There's no point you preaching about someone else. William Branham, God's prophet, said, start at Calvary. Start them at the cross. That's where you must start. The people sick, you need to preach of Jesus as a healer. And 85%, hear me tonight, you can check this, but I've done it, I know what I'm talking about. I've read it and studied it. 85% of the last 3.5 years of the ministry of Jesus was based on divine healing. Yeah. Everywhere he went, he healed the people. And he'd done miracles. And my Bible's clear in Malachi 3:6. It says, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. I was encouraged that she told me, keep on keeping on. Amen. You might think a message goes forth and just because there's a few of us, nobody heard it. But you'd be surprised where it goes. You know, when I was in America the last time, the brother came to me, he thought I was Brother John. And then I explained, that's my uncle. You know, he mentioned the angels, the testimony. And then he said that the message a brother had preached, or testimony, went away into this thousand of miles away, interpreted into their language, and they heard it. Never would have thought it from Ballycross, but all over the world that testimony went. And you think maybe it's going nowhere. Nothing's happening. But I tell you, God's moving. God is moving. And you know what a servant of God said? He said it, you know, you look back and see what God used to do, and you look forward and you're praying for what you want God to do, but you have to recognize what God's doing right now. Recognize what God's doing right now. Say, brother, there's nothing happening with me. Well, then you need prayer. You need prayer if that's the case. If you think there's nothing happening with you, you need prayer. The Bible says he's changing me from glory to glory, like unto his own glorious self. It's God's will to continually change us. And you say when the rapture takes place, and when I talk about the rapture, I'm talking about the catching up. Amen. I tell you, we're going to get a new body. We're going to go.
Glory.
We're going to go. We're going to be changed. And we're going to go to be with the Lord. Amen. And I do not believe in the preaching that's going about today that we're going to go through a tribulation. I do not believe it. And there's no scripture to prove it. And you could take clearly for Romans 8:1 and just prove it in that one verse. How, brother? There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. That means judgment. You're already judged in Christ. Christ was judged for you on the cross. He was judged for you on the cross. And he's coming for you. He's coming for you, brother and sister. Aren't you glad the Lord's coming for you?
Amen.
Let's come and bow our heads tonight. My friend, if you're listening into this service, are you saved? Are you born again in the Spirit of God? Born again of God's Spirit. Born from above. It's clear this evening. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time to call upon the name of the Lord. Maybe you're listening in and you're backslidden. You're away from God. You've lost your joy and the spark. And all of us, every single man and woman, might have times where they would backslide. But I thank God tonight that Psalmist David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I'm calling you tonight. Come to the altar of God. Now I'm not talking about this physical altar. I'm talking about the altar of God. In your heart, accept Him. In your heart, believe Him. And with your mouth, make your confession clear and call upon the name of the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Even in this room, if anyone wants prayer, listening in, if you need prayer tonight, Jesus is only a prayer away. I do not believe in a gospel without power. I believe in a miracle-working God, and I believe in a Jesus with power the same today as He always had. Lift your hand up tonight if you want prayer. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You that's listening in your home, wherever you are, believe God. Accept the Lord. Believe for a touch from heaven. Amen. The power of God is real. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your precious words. Salvation in the light of this wonderful passage. God so loved the world. Lord, we thank You that sent Your Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that You'll bind every foul demon spirit. I come against the spirit of infirmity. In the name of Jesus, I bind it. And I pray for the power of God to come upon Your people in this room, listening in right now. Let the power of God come upon them in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the fear of the devil. I curse cancer. I rebuke that demon of cancer. In Jesus' name, let it wither and die and go. In Jesus Christ's name. Lord, You were able to do it in the days of John Wesley and the days of other wonderful men of God. You're the same today. Lord, it's You. You're the same. You have never changed. We believe You tonight. Father, there's a man or woman's not saved. Give them the saving grace to call upon Your name right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father God, bless everyone in this room. Bless, Lord, each and everyone. Bless the brother that brought Your word this morning. Bless him. Bless his whole household. Save everyone and save all of our children. And all that's near and dear to save those listening in tonight. We pray again for the nurses, for the doctors. Lord, for all those, Lord, that need Your help tonight, strengthen them, protect them, and watch over them in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for Donnie Reagan in America tonight. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus You'll touch him. I pray You'll heal him and raise him up in Jesus' name. And all the rest in this fellowship, Lord, that's sick and dying with this terrible thing, may the power of God touch them. And may they be raised up in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Father, we commit all these things to You. We acknowledge You and know You will direct our paths. Help us now. Guide us. Lead us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Peter as our brother comes. Praise God.
Let us sing that little chorus. If you want joy, real joy, let Jesus come to your heart.
If you want joy, you yeah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus said that I believe it. Honestly, Heavenly Father knows our needs before we pray, and you can rest assured the answer's once again. Yes, the
answer's on me. Yes, I know.
Thank you for your word again.